This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, August 23rd. Good morning, muy buenos dias, and welcome to another edition of Morning Air, bringing Christ to the world through the media. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again, coast to coast here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. What an incredible historic summer pledge drive last week. On Friday at 4:51 p.m. Central Time, Relevant Radio broke the all-time record for a pledge drive, just shy of $3 million. Thank you. Thank you for your heroic giving. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You stepped up to the plate. You came down out of the stands and got on the playing field and really did an amazing job. You reached out and you responded in a big-time way. I feel so blessed to be able to share our Catholic faith with you every single day and bring you the light of Christ to start your morning, but we absolutely cannot do it without you. Our number, if you want to call us and tell us why you supported Relevant Radio during our pledge drive and how Relevant Radio has changed your life, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Glenn, Relevant Radio, without a shadow of a doubt, is changing lives. Thank you again for all your help.
Well, John, it was a pleasure working with you last week here as we gave folks that great opportunity to reach out and respond. And my goodness, did you reach out and respond, people? Almost $3.2 million, well above that stated need of $2.7 million. But here's that great news, John, too. 10%, like we said, 10% of everything that was given during the past week goes to help out earthquake recovery in Haiti, which is so needed. And we'll talk a little bit more about what's happening there in just a moment. But what a beautiful week of response from Relevant Radio listeners. John, I always say, and we know this, the world's greatest listeners right here at Relevant Radio.
Absolutely amazing, Glenn. I'm just humbled and so blessed to be able to have been part of this historic pledge drive. The folks just really, it's just so moving to see the way that they responded. I felt like I was listening to a playoff game down the stretch in the afternoon, listening to Drew, wondering if when we were going to, not when, not if, but when we were going to hit our goal, and then wondering how close we were going to get to that $3 million mark. And it just never ceases to amaze me, the generosity, the heart, the dedication to our mission. The folks gave in a big time way. And I think, Glenn, I think it's very appropriate that this happened, this historic pledge drive happened here in the month of August, the traditional month dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And many folks I know donated, gave their pledges in honor of our Blessed Mother. And in case you didn't get around to it, in case you are on vacation and you didn't hear anything about it and you still feel like, hey, I want to contribute a little bit, it's still not too late. You can still do it at relevantradio.com. Super easy, super quick, as we always say. Also on the Relevant Radio app. And of course, the usual 877-291-0123 number to give your pledge here in the next few days. If for whatever reason you weren't able to be part of the pledge drive party last week, Glenn.
It was a party indeed. Certainly had that atmosphere as folks were coming together. And the beautiful thing, it had been such a tough year and a half for so many reasons for so many people. But coming together, rallying around Relevant Radio, rallying around this virtual parish. We've been able to be here thanks to the beauty of technology and the Holy Spirit as well, doing some great things. When sometimes in the last year and a half, church buildings were closed down, we were able to have Mass for you live each and every day on the radio, the Rosary live for you each and every day on the radio to help you stay connected, to give you hope, and to help build up your faith in the midst of everything that was going on, to help you focus on Christ first, and then let all those other things in life fall into place.
Absolutely. Christ first. I think that that's really such an important part of the message that we try to bring here every single day on this program and on Relevant Radio as a whole. We need to make our Lord Jesus Christ number one in our lives. We need to continue to have that relationship. And this is what we do here at Relevant Radio, to remind you, to be kind of like your spiritual trainer with the amazing lineup of guests and of regular contributors that help in so many different ways. I mean, it's we have an entire team of people behind the scenes that help to bring that message of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I've said it so many times, making a difference for time and for eternity. I think that this is what we're doing, and I think that the people responded. And again, it's just so moving. So many people stood up and made a pledge, just unbelievable support, Glenn.
Oh, absolutely. And our great thanks. We've been such a busy week of asking, but definitely time to be polite and say thank you for your great support. Thank you. You could still pledge if you missed out on that opportunity, as you can anytime through the year at relevantradio.com or at 877-291-0123. And when you hear me say that number, don't worry, we're not back into the pledge drive mode. But some folks like to make sure they can take part in what goes on here at Relevant Radio. We thank you so much for that. Relevant Radio gets to keep going strong for another 3 more months here, Lord willing, and doing great things and spreading the good news, John.
Well, you know, yesterday, during a normal year, yesterday would have been the memorial of the queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but it fell on a Sunday, so obviously Sunday takes precedence. But we prayed so many memoraries during the pledge drive last week, and our Blessed Mother came through again in a big-time way here in this month dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And we always start every day in faith and in prayer, setting the tone for the entire day, asking for the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. So, Glenn, I'd like to start in prayer, and then on the other side, I'd like to chat with you about some of the things that are happening in the news. There's so much going on here on a Monday morning, I don't even know where to begin, but let's start in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, in this year of Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every single day when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. A little bit later here in the next half hour, we're going to go to the Big Apple and check in with Ed Clancy from New York City. He's the Director of Outreach for Aid to the Church in Need. He's going to join us to talk about the incredible situation, the crisis that's going on in Afghanistan, and the impact that it is having on the church, on Catholics and other Christians in that country. And we're going to also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. Also, we want to bring you our power scripture, my signature. We do this every single day to start the day. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 2 Timothy 4:7. The Apostle St. Paul writes, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved him. Our spiritual life is a marathon and not a sprint. It reminds me of Major League Baseball. Baseball's a marathon, 162 games, and then the postseason. It's not where you start in spring training, but how you finish and how you do in October. In our Catholic faith, it's not how you start, but how you finish. accomplish as well. Our salvation is a spiritual marathon. It's not a sprint, folks. I want to encourage you to keep running the race and fighting the good fight of faith. One day you will cross the ultimate finish line and receive the crown of righteousness to be with our Lord Jesus, our Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, and all the angels and saints for all eternity in heaven. Jesus, I trust in you. Glenn, as I said, there's a lot going on, a lot of stories to keep an eye on, and it moved my heart when you gave us the good news about Cardinal Raymond Burke. We've been praying for him. Everybody's praying for him. We've been pulling for him to come through from COVID.
Oh, John, so much good news to report today, including, of course, the Relevant Radio Pledge Drive. Meeting the need last week. Also last week, your prayers, I'm sure, were for Relevant Radio, and I'm sure they were for Cardinal Burke as well. Been a lot of news reports from various sources, including some last week that made the situation pretty dire, which it was serious, and maybe made it seem a little more scary than it really was. But good news by the end of the week. Now, in addition to his own Twitter account, for example, the other kind of official spot where news was being disseminated through the family of Cardinal Burke was the GuadalupeShrine.org website, for the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin, that he was instrumental with. But this word from Saturday, praise be Jesus Christ. The Cardinal's family is pleased to announce His Eminence has come off the ventilator and will leave the ICU today. Again, this is from Saturday, and return to his hospital room. His sister spoke with him on the phone this morning, and His Eminence expressed his deep gratitude for the many prayers offered on his behalf. His family asks we continue those prayers for his full and speedy recovery, and they're grateful to God for the exceptional medical care the Cardinal's received from the dedicated doctors and nurses who continue to assist him. That's from Reverend Paul Check, Executive Director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse. And so great news, Cardinal Burke off the ventilator. Of course, for those battling with COVID, that had been a very difficult part of it. Anyone for any medical reason who's ever endured that, very difficult, but he's off the ventilator now. So good news in the developments in the health of Cardinal Burke.
That is great news. And as Father Rocky reminded us last week, Cardinal Burke was so instrumental in bringing Relevant Radio to the Diocese of La Crosse back in the early days. He's always been a big supporter of Relevant Radio. And so many people have been praying for him, especially during the Family Rosary Across America every night with Father Rocky. So I think the good Lord, our Blessed Mother, is really helping Cardinal Burke in this recovery.
Oh, absolutely. So it's good to get the good news, the straight news out there, and let people know, again, that it is good news. Cardinal Burke off the ventilator and to a regular hospital room now out of the ICU. And his family says there'll be updates as warranted as they come. But one great source for folks to check on, GuadalupeShrine.org.
Glenn, you've had an opportunity to meet Cardinal Burke over the years.
You know, I haven't, actually. I haven't. We've had some other staff members who have, and of course he was instrumental in the early days in starting Relevant Radio as, at the time, the Bishop of La Crosse, Wisconsin, which covers a good chunk of western Wisconsin, where Relevant Radio got its start in those early days, stations across Wisconsin, plus in Chicago and the Twin Cities, and he continued to be a big supporter. And I know one of our engineers who hails from St. Louis, where, of course, he was serving as well, Matt Beardsley, has known him through the years. He was instrumental in Matt actually taking a direction to move toward Catholic radio. And so Cardinal Burke been involved in a variety of ways in the growth of Relevant Radio.
Again, I want to remind our listeners, we do have open lines right now. I'd love to hear from a few of you. If you want to give us a call real briefly and tell us why you supported Relevant Radio during our Pledge Drive last week, perhaps how Relevant Radio has changed your life. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. How Relevant Radio touches your heart, what it means to you personally. Give us a call. Would love to hear from you. Glenn, the other story, of course, that we're keeping an eye on is the situation in Haiti. Those poor people after that massive recent 7.2 magnitude earthquake that's killed well over 2,200 people, 12,000 injured, according to the official figures. 300 people still estimated to be missing. It was just a devastating blow to that island. and then on top of it, they also got hit with the tropical storm. So not only did they get hit with the earthquake, but also the tropical storm. But Relevant Radio and our listening audience has come through. They're stepped up to the plate. As you mentioned, 10% of everything that we were able to raise during the pledge drive last week is going to help these people in Haiti who need lots and lots of help.
Well, they certainly do. Like I mentioned, over 2,200 declared dead at this point, with another 300 missing, and it's a long time to be missing since this earthquake, 7.2, very serious earthquake. The country not completely recovered from the last really big quake in 2010. Hurricanes sweep the island not infrequently as well, and a tropical storm came across just literally days after this last earthquake. Over 1,200 injured and countless thousands of homes destroyed, let alone businesses where people can, you know, make their livelihood. And so it was great Relevant Radio could donate 10% of what was raised on our pledge drive last week, again raising nearly $3.2 million last week for Relevant Radio. 10% of that will go to work through the Catholic Church in Haiti. And sometimes it can be tricky getting relief to spots around the world where that is needed. We've heard stories coming out of Haiti of relief trucks being hijacked by gangs, also people fighting over and destroying some of the aid given and some of the packages and the like. But working through the Catholic Church, which of course has been on the ground there for centuries, able to hopefully get aid a little more directly to folks who need it, that in Haiti.
It's probably very difficult for most of us to even imagine what it's like on the ground there in Haiti. People in need of water, of food, of medicine, clothing, shelter, in need of funerals, dignified funerals for the people who died, and of course, help for those who are still suffering. And again, the donations from our summer pledge drive last week are helping. 10% is being donated to help in this cause. And of course, we need to continue to pray, as we've been doing ever since this story broke. Continue to pray for these poor suffering people of Haiti. And something that we can do every day on the Holy Mass here on Relevant Radio at noon, in the afternoon with Drew Mariani on the Chaplet for Divine Mercy in the Hour of Power, and also, of course, on the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky every night at 7 p.m. Prayer is powerful, and we need to continue to pray for those people. Another story that we're all keeping an eye on is the weather. The tropical storm in the northeast in New England, New York area, Tropical Storm Henry, as well as just unbelievable historic floods in the state of Tennessee. I mean, my goodness, it's like all happening at once, Glenn.
Oh, it certainly is. And first off, even before the tropical storm story in the Northeast, but in Tennessee, such severe weather there, such severe rain. Searchers going door to door today. They're looking for 20 people still missing after this storm came through one town in Humphreys County in the middle of Tennessee, hit with 17 inches of rain on Saturday alone. Hard to imagine that. Almost a foot and a half of rain in one day. The water washed away homes, took out roads. At least 22 are dead there, still searching for 20 missing. And then on to the northeast, as they're using the French pronunciation, John, of this tropical storm, Henri. It came ashore on the weekend in near Providence, Rhode Island, near Narragansett, where we regularly talk with Father Marcel Tyon. Came aboard on shore there and started moving to the northwest, but drenching so much of Connecticut. And that wraparound rain system hit New York City pretty hard. Actually, almost 2 inches of rain, just a shade under, like 1.98 inches, falling in 1 hour late Saturday night in Central Park, measured in New York. The most rain in 1 hour ever in the history of record keeping in the city, going back well into the 1800s. And so very soggy, lots of flooding in that area too. There'd been a flood advisory out for the entire New York metro area over much of Sunday, and kind of continuing in today, making the commute difficult in some spots as well. You get the subways getting a lot of rain coming down the steps into some of those subway stations as well. Just kind of a mess to deal with as well in the Northeast, and that'll gradually dissipate over the next couple of days here, but bringing a lot of rain to that portion of the Relevant Radio listening area.
Glenn, the other story that we're taking a look at and keeping an eye on is the COVID situation. Never in a million years would I have imagined at the beginning of the summer that I would be pulling out a mask out of my pocket again here in our Relevant Radio studios. And that's exactly what I'm doing. Got the mask here in studio, not wearing it while we're on the air, but when we walk down the hall and are around our associates and so many other businesses and places across the country, many places right now are requiring masks. Just the last few days, some are starting with these mask mandates here today. What do you know? What's the latest going on here with this pandemic?
Well, the very latest kind of wrinkle is the Delta variant. That's a brand of COVID that's a little more contagious than what we've dealt with previous, and it seems to be hitting younger people a little harder as well. The concern, especially for young children under 12 who haven't been able to be vaccinated, that hasn't been okayed yet. Speaking of things getting okayed, though, the Pfizer vaccine now has been technically approved all the way by the FDA, not just the emergency use situation we've had for the Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson vaccines thus far. And some think that will be easier then for different institutions to mandate that people be vaccinated. That is the case sometimes for getting into entertainment events currently, some not the case, some that is the case. And as school and sort of normal fall life gets back underway soon, we're finding in terms of mask mandates as well. I know in Minnesota, where I broadcast from, school districts making those decisions just in the past week. And it's like every other one says you got to have a mask. Every other one says it's recommended but optional. So at this point, I'm seeing many more people just, you know, at stores and various places around wearing the masks again. Some voluntarily, some different businesses may mandate those, and we might see that coming back again. So, you know, dig up those masks, get them washed and ready to go for round two, just to be safe. The vaccines are recommended by the Holy Father. The vaccines are recommended by the U.S. bishops. More and more of that is becoming officially approved as well. But be ready to show your vaccination status for various things, including something maybe as simple as an entertainment event too, John.
Absolutely. And there's been a lot of controversial perspectives, especially a lot of parents very passionate about the morality of religious exemptions. This is a topic that obviously we need to look at perhaps with a moral theologian to discuss this a little bit more in depth. But, you know, there's a lot of folks who feel like they don't want to get the vaccine for whatever reason. And so not everybody's on the same page.
No, they're not on that, but it's important to get your news from good sources on that. A lot of misinformation. And kind of like so many things anymore, whatever happens, that particular thing is sometimes weaponized by either side of the political spectrum as well. So, you know, be careful not to be sucked into that battle for something that might be actually good for your health. And very quickly, John, too, just one other quick news note of big import over the weekend. President Biden spoke about this at 3 Central yesterday afternoon as well, that situation in Afghanistan where evacuations continue, but it is very dangerous for folks trying to get to the airport with the Taliban in control just outside of the gates of the airport in Kabul there. The U.S. trying its best to get every American out as well as those that helped the American war effort there, and reports even that ISIS might be prowling about trying to terrorize folks as well. You've seen the pictures, you've heard the stories. Definitely
horrific. The images
in your prayers.
The images are horrific, and but what a perfect segue, because that's exactly what we're going to do after the break. We're going to talk about this dire situation that's going on, this crisis in Afghanistan, and how it's impacting the church, both Catholic and other Christians. We're going to take a short break. Glenn, as always, thanks so much for your perspective.
All right. Hey, you're very welcome, John.
Okay. We're going to take a break when Morning Air continues. We'll be joined by Ed Clancy. He is the Director of Outreach for Aid for the Church in Need to talk about this crisis in Afghanistan and the impact on the church there. Stay with us. There's much more to come on this Monday morning edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
31 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on a Monday. I'm John Morales. Great to be with you once again. Coming up a little bit later, we'll bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. But once again, I want to say, in case you missed our remarks at the beginning of the show, I want to just say thank you from the bottom of my heart to all of our listeners who were unbelievable last week. Just simply amazing. A historic pledge drive. Nearly $2 million altogether. The all-time record for a pledge drive for Relevant Radio. In case you were out of town, you weren't able to be a part of this pledge drive party, it's not too late still. You can still make a tax-deductible donation by giving us a call at 877-291-0123. Or, of course, you can do it online, super easy, at relevantradio.com, or make a pledge at the Relevant Radio app. But again, our listeners are unbelievable, just simply incredible. Way more than 14,000 people donated to this pledge drive, and we made our goal of $2.7 million last Friday, and we are so grateful, we're so blessed, and we thank you again. I can't express how exciting it was to listen to the response of our audience last Friday down the stretch on the Drew Mariani Show. It was unbelievable. It really was a memorable experience. I'll never forget it. And again, thank you so much for all your support. I want to shift gears and talk about the international humanitarian crisis that is going on as we speak in Afghanistan. You've seen the images. They're just unbelievable. Just people on top of people, people being crushed, people being trampled. Just an incredible situation. As you know, the Taliban insurgents have taken over many cities, including the capital of Afghanistan. For all practical purposes, they've taken over the country last week following the withdrawal of U.S. forces from the country. The Biden administration is scrambling. They're scrambling to evacuate an estimated 30,000 refugees from the Taliban-held Afghanistan. Pressure is mounting every single day, especially from beleaguered Christian missionaries, to resettle them in the U.S. and in other countries as soon as possible. This has caused a ton of chaos in this Islamic country, and we can't help but think about the situation for our Catholic brothers and sisters and other Christians who are going through just unbelievable times. And now joining us to talk about this crisis is Ed Clancy, Director of Outreach for Aid to the Church in Need, an international Catholic charity under the guidance of the Holy See, providing assistance to the suffering and persecuted church in more than 140 countries. He also listens to Morning Air while driving his daughter to school. Good morning, Ed. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's good to be with you once again.
Thank you. No school today, but coming soon, yes.
All right.
Unfortunately, the situation in Afghanistan, I mean, is almost as bad as it can be, both for Christians and for non-Christians. We, you know, have gotten reports on the ground every day. I've been in communication with numerous people there, and there's a great fear for many, many lives, and it includes not only those who are, you know, card-carrying Christians, if you will. It includes those who are associated with them, and that is the same or similar to what's happening with, you know, the U.S. troops, U.S. organizations, and then the Afghan translators who worked with them. They are in jeopardy, as are the women and the young girls. They will be subjugated in ways that we really don't want to think about, and this is unfortunately the situation that is happening now, and we're on the precipice of a long history of happening.
And this is a situation, and again, you know, you turn on the mainstream media, and obviously they're talking about it from a political perspective, and it's tough not to look at the political part of it, but it also has a great effect on people of faith in that country, especially our Catholic brothers and sisters and any other Christians that are being affected. How big is the Christian community in this Islamic country?
Well, the exact reports are almost impossible to know, but the people who are familiar with the area say that there are at least 20,000. Now, that number might even be much larger, because the problem in Afghanistan, even in these last 20 years of sort of quote-unquote relative peace, there's always been a fear of providing somebody your documentation that you're Christian. And what has happened recently that's very troubling and very concerning is that the Taliban have raided churches, they have raided house churches, they have sought out known Christian individuals, both for punishment and also for information, to learn who is among the Christians. We know sort of statistically that there are at least 200 Catholics. We know that the Catholic Church has, in the last 15 or 16 years, built certain institutions like a school for children. They've helped with orphans and handicapped. And there are a number of nuns and priests who have, you know, gone to Afghanistan to serve, and some of whom, many of whom, are still there and unfortunately are waiting for some sort of rescue or effort to get them out.
It's an unbelievable situation. You know, obviously, watching some of the reports over the weekend of people that can't even leave their homes because it's too unsafe. They can't get to the airport in hope of trying to leave the country. And people getting trampled, babies being killed because they were trampled in the crowds. Can you paint a picture of what you have seen from what's going on the ground?
Sure. Well, it's difficult because we get information, you know, firsthand information of what's going on. We know that there are Christians who are trapped in their homes and cannot leave. They know that if they show their heads, that they are targeted. We know, for example, that there was a school created by the church called, it's the Pro Bambini di Kabul, which was for the children's school in Kabul. And it was set up by a group of about 16 different religious organizations that work in the Middle East and the Afghanistan area. Now, there are a good number of children who attended that school that were not Christian, but, I mean, obviously some were. And so now the problem is not only for those Christians who, you know, by virtue of their baptism in the faith, are targets, you also have those who are just wanted a good education and knew that the Catholic Church and institutions like, you know, Pro Bambini would provide them that. They are now going to be targeted. We had videotape of you know, the places at the airport where you see hundreds and hundreds of people stuck. In fact, we have groups that are literally waiting within 100 meters of the gate with documentation. American citizens and those Afghanis who have official travel documents to come to the United States, visas essentially, they are there literally waiting to get into the airport so they can get out. And they're not doing anything other than what was requested of them, and that was to show up at the gate and, you know, at a rally point. But unfortunately, because of the chaos, they're now stuck. They're literally within sight of, if you will, you know, rescue. And they can't get there. There's one story which was heartbreaking for me. Was the young female mayor of Central Afghanistan. Her name is Zarifa Ghaffari, and she was elected mayor at 24 years old. One of the youngest mayor in Afghanistan, a woman who was instituting changes in the Central Afghan town, where they were doing things like building up the schools, repairing roads, installing infrastructure, and 3 years did amazing things. She did an interview this weekend and said, and I quote, "I'm sitting here waiting for them to come. There is no help for me or my family. I'm just sitting with them, my husband and my children, and they will come for people like me and kill me. I can't leave my family, and anyway, where can I go?"
Unbelievable. And this is, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Ed, and we're visiting with Ed Clancy from New York City, Director of Outreach for Aid to the Church in Need. We're talking about the dire situation in Afghanistan and the impact that it's having on the church, the Catholic Church, and other Christians there in that country. Ed, can you talk a little bit about the Taliban and what kind of experience has Aid for the Church in Need had with the Taliban over the years? What do we know about their mentality, their philosophy, how they treat women and other people?
Well, we do an international report on freedom, a report on international religious freedom every other year. We've been doing it for 22 years. And Afghanistan, because of the Taliban, has ranked near the top of the most troublesome countries every single report. So they've always been there, and it's been because of the Taliban and their particular philosophy regarding their faith and others of faith. And the issue in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, and I mention Pakistan because in a lot of ways, Pakistan has been the adoptive brother of the Taliban for many years. And they've allowed the Taliban to exist and to continue, even during some of these military battles. And because of that, the situation in both Afghanistan and Pakistan and the greater region are really in jeopardy, because the Taliban are not afraid to bring people in, as we know with Osama bin Laden, from other sort of organizations, like-minded organizations. And so we see an uprise now of the presence of ISIS. Al-Qaeda, who, you know, according to some people, was defeated, is returning. So all of these sort of disparate, similar-minded organizations now stand a chance of growing. And the other problem is for religious communities in, obviously, in Pakistan, I mean, Afghanistan, but in these other countries that surround it, will be directly affected. We know that, for example, the leadership of Pakistan, I mean, Afghanistan, has been going to Pakistan regularly. They use it for money clearing. They use it for the ability to purchase things, for travel, to take a break from their problems and their warfare in Afghanistan. So it's a complex mess that's gotten much more complex. So for us, we see it as an opportunity for destability and for problems for the Christian community in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Iraq, in Syria, in all of these other places, because of many repercussions of what's happening there.
Ed, we need to take a short break, but we want to continue talking about this incredible situation that's going on in Afghanistan and the impact that it's having on the Catholic Church and other Christians. We're talking with Ed Clancy, Director of Outreach for Aid for the Church in Need. Much more as we continue our conversation here on Relevant Radio. If you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. Stay with us. Much more to come on the other side here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
46 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. John Morales, great to be with you here on a Monday morning as we continue our conversation with Ed Clancy, the Director of Outreach for Aid for the Church in Need, as he's joining us from New York City. Ed, welcome back.
Thank you. Well, unfortunately, I would say it's good to be back. It is good to talk to you, but unfortunately, the topic is not so great. But, I was reflecting on what we were just talking about and thinking about the school, the Pro Bambini. I there are a number of nuns in Afghanistan right now, and the two nuns that run Pro Bambini school have said that they're not leaving. So those are among the two who are willing to stay behind. And that shows to me the incredible courage of these people of faith, these servants that we have in our church, and how, even though it's difficult to think about what might happen, how they are leaders to us and how they really show to us a type of living faith that none of us can really quite understand. And it's amazing to me and quite inspirational, even if it is in a dark time.
Amazing, amazing courage from these Catholic nuns with Pro Bambino. What do we know about the status of other priests and other religious that are still in the country?
Well, there are a number that are trapped or waiting. The exact numbers and who they are is not being spoken about, both because it's hard to know who is where at any one time. And the other thing is we do not want to give any information that would help. The Taliban has been very good about gathering information about, as I mentioned, visiting house churches and known places of Christian that Christians frequent to gather information and to take things. They have taken mobile phones from people. Sometimes they do it and they destroy it if there's a Bible on it or there's anything Christian or they have any of the apps that we might use like WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger or Facebook. But other times they actually confiscate the phones. They ask for the access to know the password to the phone and they confiscate them for the purposes of obviously of gaining information, of finding networks. And because of this, the nuns and the priests that are there are in jeopardy. One of the things that we know that's different than previously is that the Italian embassy has withdrawn. Now, the Italians had remained in Afghanistan since 1934.
Wow.
And since 1934, they were there even through the Soviet and the Taliban presence throughout, up until last week. And that had been the focal point or the center of the church in Afghanistan. In fact, it's the only official chapel or church within Afghanistan is on the compound of the embassy. And so now they have pulled out. That changes the dynamics of, you know, of a point of control or a point of safety for a lot of these people. And they're really just waiting and hoping for rescue. And this is why, I mean, you know, oftentimes we don't ask to get political, and we don't want to get political. We ask people to do things in a sort of a more prayerful way. But we really had to have to advocate for our leaders to do something to help these people, because they are literally sitting there as this young Afghani mayor is waiting to die if we don't do something. And, you know, I'm not a military expert, but I don't see this happening within a week. I don't see the ability to take out the 15,000 or so Americans and maybe another 20,000, you know, including these foreign nationals and Christian communities and things like that. The number could go up to over 100,000, and that would just be direct associates. That doesn't take into account the thousands and thousands of families that are at risk because, like I mentioned, they associated with Christians. It wasn't even that they are Christians. They may be Sunni. They may be devout. But the fact that they were kind or they did things together, they are now targets. So this is a terrible situation, but first and foremost, we have to take care of some of these people.
Ed, again, without getting too political, but again, this whole situation has political ramifications. Do you feel that the Biden administration, with how slowly they have acted, they're being criticized by the international community, they're being criticized by both sides of the aisle here in this country, do you think they're letting down, especially the American people that are there and the Catholics and other Christians?
Well, I have to rely somewhat on a personal experience to help understand what forms my opinion on these things. In 2011, I went to World Youth Day, and I got to meet a group of Iraqi Catholic young people that were coming to World Youth Day. And at that time, we got to meet the bishop traveling with them, Bishop Warduni. And we introduced ourselves, and when I said, "Hello, I'm Edward Clancy from AG of the Church in USA," he just stopped and stared. It was like a very distinct stare. And he said to me, "America, you caused us this problem." And at that point, I had a kind of retreat in saying, I thought to myself, but I didn't do it. And at the same time, I started realizing, wait a second, I didn't do it, but, you know, I am an American. And whether we like it or not, we see, other people see us by these actions. And the administration has made mistakes, there's no doubt about it. And my problem right now is that they are not taking quick action to either admit or fix the mistakes. We are getting criticized. I have to, because of, you know, working with these international groups in the Christian community and religious freedom, interact with people from other countries. And they won't say it, but they keep asking me, when are the Americans going to do something? And you know, I had the same retreat that I had with meeting Bishop Warduni, in that I don't know. I'm so sorry. And I think a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people feel like we really need to be doing something better to help people. We cannot just do something and then make believe there's no problem. We really have to make an effort to change things.
Ed, Aid to the Church in Need has been doing so much over the years in the Middle East and especially in Afghanistan. What have you been doing? What are you doing now during this crisis?
Well, because of the situation on the ground, obviously we're not going to be helping in country. And the other issue is we don't know yet where some of the people who will be rescued will go. So that requires us to wait a bit. But what we always do is we always realize that in these situations we have to help. So we've already begun putting aside funds and asking people if they want to help towards a fund so that when these needs become apparent, they can be responded to immediately. An example would be, again, another tragedy just happened in Haiti. When the earthquake happened, there wasn't a question. Immediately, $600,000 was put aside for immediate response to the church to say, we are going to help. And it was before we even asked for money. And what we always rely on is the church on the ground. You know, these brave two nuns that are staying in Afghanistan, people like that who know very well what needs to be done, we will help them. And that's what we want to do going forward. No matter where they are or who they are, they will be helped because of the great generosity of our donors.
Ed, if somebody feels touched in the heart by what you're sharing with us, especially about these two nuns, how can folks contribute and help to the needy people of Afghanistan?
Well, they can visit our website, churchinneed.org. They'll be able to keep up to date with what's going on in Afghanistan. And unfortunately, it's not the only place. We don't want to forget some of these other countries that aren't in the news now. It's good to keep up on these things. And obviously, we have to be praying for Afghanistan. But I ask everyone in the audience that why not have a regular prayer at your weekly Sunday Mass, at the Prayers for the Faithful, asking to pray for persecuted Christians around the world. And perhaps your parish can take one country each month that has real severe problems and pray for them. Because we really have to act more than just with our pocketbooks. We have to act with our prayers, because both together will do much more.
Final thoughts, as Pope Francis has also asked for many prayers for the people of Afghanistan. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of uniting our prayers with those of the Holy Father for those persecuted Christians?
Well, the Holy See has been a champion for many years in helping the church to focus on problems like what's going on in Afghanistan and the Middle East. It is so important for us as a people of faith to come together on the things like this. That, you know, we hear Jesus when he's speaking in the gospel about the widow's mite. So in a way, our prayers may seem small. We may think, oh, what is 30 seconds or 2 minutes in a day? But that 30 seconds or 2 minutes in a day helps us, helps the church, and helps the international Christian community and the world. We really have to be good about praying, but we have to also realize that this is not just Afghan problem. There's problems all over the world. So pray for the people of Afghanistan, and please ask your officials to find a way to help them in Congress or otherwise.
Thanks so much, Ed. We're going to have to leave it right there. I so much appreciate your perspective. Ed Clancy, Director of Outreach for Aid to the Church in Need. Thank you, Ed. And now it's time for another Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Rich in Good Things by Jill Briscoe. There was a man who was the richest farmer in the valley. He was not a God-fearing man, but was instead a self-made man who worshipped his creator himself, he thought. He had in his employ a humble gardener who loved the Lord. One day, the richest man in the valley opened the door to his godly servant, who stood outside the doorstep, holding his hat awkwardly in his hands. "What is it?" his master asked him. "Sir," the man awkwardly replied, "I had a dream that tonight at midnight the richest man in the valley would die." "Why, my man," the richest man in the valley replied, I'm in excellent health. Don't you worry about me. Then gently, it's all that religion you go in for. Makes you think morbid thoughts. The man shuffled away, and the master went inside his house again. However, he couldn't get over the man's words and decided to stay up late and ask his friend's doctor to come over and play bridge with him, just in case. The doctor complied, and the evening passed, with the richest man in the valley glancing at the clock every half hour or so and insisting the doctor stay and play just one more game. At 12:30, the doctor left, and the richest man in the valley chided himself for being so foolish. As he turned off the lights and started to go up the winding staircase to bed, the doorbell rang. Thinking the doctor had forgotten something, the rich man returned to the front door and opened it. A young girl stood weeping on the doorstep. "Whatever is the matter?" the man inquired, not unkindly. "Sir," the girl replied, "tonight at midnight my father died." "Well, who is your father?" the richest man in the valley asked. "Your gardener, sir," she said. The richest man in the valley. Indeed he was, for those who know and love the Lord are rich beyond measure in this world and the next. We can be as poor as this world's goods are concerned, but wealthy in God things. There are spiritual riches, the Bible says, that surpass anything the world can offer. Jesus asks in Mark 8:36, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul?"
So much, Glenn. Coming up in the next hour, you'll meet my lovely wife, Cindy Morales, Executive Director of Pro-Life Champions, to talk about the ShoutMyStory.org initiative and how it's saving lives and changing hearts. And Relevant Radio's Timuri Jaja, the host of Trending with Timuri, will be with us live here on Morning Air to discuss the role of women in the domestic church. Don't change that dial. There's much more to come here on Morning Air next hour.